this morning. In the morning sunrise, its golden glow came creeping and lighting up the world as it lay sleeping. I saw my Lord this morning in my baby's face. She stretched her arms and waking, reaching out and wanting me to take her. My Lord is always near. In the stars up in the heavens, I see Him in His glory. And in the smallest flower, I see His love is growing.
I see my Lord in everything I see. Oh, may it be that you will see the Lord in me. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. David said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." No better verse in all the Bible than that. You want to know how to live a victorious, happy, overcoming Christian life? That's it. Spelled out for you. Loud and clear. Psalm 5, verse 3. Let me read it again. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." If you would do that every morning of your life, have that time of devotion with Christ. Stay there on your knees, humbled before God long enough until you can just pour your heart out to God and sense His presence. Let Him flush you out of everything that is negative, unclean, displeasing to Him, out of harmony with heaven. Flush you out of those things, and in its place, in that vacuum, fill you with His Holy Spirit, His presence, His divine influences. And as you are there looking up to heaven, from whence your help and your strength comes. There is no way you could ever fall along the wayside. God will give you that strength that you need. You will find in Him all that you need, just like the branch abiding in the vine. Every day, it is that life-giving sap flowing from the vine into the branch that produces the fruit. And even so, as we abide in Jesus and He abides in us, and we have those times of morning devotions, those times when the heart is turned heavenward and we look up, it doesn't matter how bad life is to you. It doesn't matter what frustration you're facing, how impossible the duty and responsibility seems to be. You will make it. You will make it. But how important it is to have that rendezvous with God, that time of intimacy, closeness, that time of heartfelt prayer. When you look up, what a difference that makes. And I'll tell you one thing it'll do. It will set your feet to dancing. It will take away the mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It will take away the mourning, the crying, the grieving, and it will put within your soul the joy of the Lord and the song of the Lord. Regardless of the situations, your situation may or may not change. That's immaterial. That's secondary. The important thing is to find peace in the midst of the storm. Find a song in the midst of your distress. And whether things change or not doesn't really matter. The thing that is important is that your own heart finds peace with God, contentment, joy, in the midst of your desert experience. How often the children of Israel would come to an oasis out there in the wilderness. Do you remember that one called Elim? They had just left the bitter waters of Marah and the next stop on the journey toward Canaan was the oasis of Elim. 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees. How often in our wilderness experiences we're passing through this life with all of its ups and downs, ins and outs, we come across an oasis out in the desert and our soul is refreshed. God has not called us to be out of this world. He has called us to be in it, but not a part of it. And while we are in this world, in this wilderness experience, to find in Jesus all that we need today. I don't know what your set of problems are. I don't know the things that you have to cope with. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you've got your hands full with life's problems and perplexities. All of us do. But in the midst of this today, let the Lord set your feet to dancing. Let Him put a song in your heart. Well, that's kind of what this happy song says. The Lord will change my mourning into dancing. Let the Holy Spirit do that for you today.
You've cast my
have turned my mourning into dancing, Lord. Now my feet are filled with your praise. That's what Jesus does for us. Life is filled with sadness. I think all of us know that. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, the scripture says. And we all have our fill of it. The troubles of life, the sadness of life. And yet, when sadness does come, which it often does, allow God to work his purposes in you. What shall I do, O Father, with this sadness? Is there a use that I can put it to? Has it a necessary work to do? O God, the heavy weight of hopeless yearning, the drooping heart, the spent and strengthless nerve, teach me, O teach me, Lord, how these can serve. If they serve but to make my heart more tender, more quick in sympathy with those who weep, or have no tears, grief being still and deep. If they serve but to make my spirit stronger, for bearing the dark burden as I must with patience and humility and trust, then it is well. But let this sadness not be wasted in self-pity. Let it be somehow, O Lord, of service unto thee. That's a good request, isn't it? That's how we ought to pray. When sadness comes, as it often does, we're not exempt. Nobody's exempt. Elijah was a man of like passion, such as we. Just look at him crawling under the juniper tree, praying to die. Can you imagine a prophet, a man of God, praying to die? You just turn a page before that story, and you see him praying fire down from heaven. One of the zenith experiences of his lifetime. But now you see him running from Jezebel. Life has a way of being transitory. The vicissitudes of life constantly changing, the moods, the ups and downs. The victory of calling fire down from heaven, the defeat of crawling under a juniper tree. Saying, Lord, I've had it, it's enough, let me die. Well, all of us, in varying degrees, have those touches of sadness in our life. But when the sadness comes, let it work God's purposes in you. Maybe one of the purposes is to work within you an understanding heart, the ability to shed a sympathizing tear. How can you sympathize with anybody else if you have never been tested and tried yourself? How can you say to someone else, I know God will help you, God will bring you through that crisis, if you have never had a crisis? So God does teach us through the experiences of life, not just the happy times, but the sad ones too. Oh God, be with us in our sorrow, strengthen us in our weakness. Help us to trust thee when we cannot understand. Grant that in our disasters we may not turn from thee in rebellious bitterness. Grant that we may not despair in the monotonous desert stretches of our lives, when there seems no purpose, no achievement, and no help, but only the thankless doing of irksome tasks. O Father, keep us faithful always unto thee. In Christ's name, amen. That makes a good prayer, doesn't it? Lord, help us not to be turned into rebellious bitterness. When the trials of life come upon us, when the disasters touch our lives, keep us sweet. Keep us loving thee. Keep us trusting thee. Isaiah 30, verse 19, he will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Oh, thank God for his promises. Do you know why we can have this assurance? Do you know why we can be happy today, regardless of your tears, regardless of the pressures of life? Do you know why you can be happy in spite of it all? Because we have the assurance that as a child of God, my Heavenly Father watches over me. No better song ever written than that one. My heavenly Father watches over me. It's certainly biblical. The Bible tells us this. Not a sparrow falls to the ground, but what our heavenly Father sees and knows about, and of how much more value are ye than many sparrows. I think the greatest tenor voice ever to sing gospel songs was Jack Holcomb. He has long since gone to be with the Lord. But it was my privilege to hear Jack Holcomb in person. 42 years ago, he came to a church in Dallas, Texas, where we were at the time. And I had been listening to his albums by the hour, loving his songs. He sings with such an anointing and the touch of God on his life. And even though he has gone to be with the Lord, his ministry in song continues to minister. Listen to Jack Holcomb as he sings for us that great message. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Let it take the sadness out of your heart and fill you with hope and assurance and joy. the billows roll, he keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. What a beautiful message. How reassuring to know that wherever you are, wherever you go, God is there. David said that. Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me. In other words, if I go over uncharted waters to some unknown island, I'll find that God was already there before I got there. If I ascend into the heights above or into the depths beneath, God is there. Jacob found him on the hilltop of Bethel. John found him on Patmos. Moses found him in the backside of the desert. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found him in the fiery furnace. Elijah found him out there in the wilderness. And you'll find him there in that hospital room. You'll find him out there as you're taking a walk all by yourself. You'll find him as you're riding along in your automobile all alone. Or maybe sitting there at your kitchen table, you'll find him. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Maybe it is true that most folks don't understand what you're going through. Maybe it is true that most folks don't understand and most folks don't care. But it is not true that God doesn't care and that he doesn't understand. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 4, which lets us know very clearly that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points such as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These Scriptures say very clearly that the heart of Jesus is touched with the things that hurt me. And he sympathizes for me. He's there to help me. As a faithful high priest, I can come boldly to the throne of grace, not intimidated, not scared, but I can come boldly with freedom of speech to talk to him and pour my heart out to God. Isn't that prayer? Isn't that what prayer is all about? It is coming into the presence of the living God and pouring your heart out to him. And God hears and answers our prayers when we pray in faith, believing. Oh, dear friend, today let's just pour our hearts out to God. Let us touch the hem of Christ's garment. What do people do who don't know Jesus when they come to die or when they come to some awful tragedy in their life or some pressure point of living? What do they do? Where do they turn? As Peter said, Lord, where else should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else could we go? What do people do if they don't have Jesus? I feel sorry for people who are outside the fellowship of Christ, who don't know the Lord. I feel sorry for them, first of all, because it doesn't have to be that way. They choose it to be so. No one is excluded from God's grace except those who exclude themselves. And if you're outside the security that Jesus offers in the fellowship of heaven, you choose to walk and to live like that. But you can also choose life. You can say yes to God. The Bible tells us clearly that there are two roads, two paths that we can walk in. And it's our choice. We do have freedom of will. Jesus said, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in that way, because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We do have a choice. We can either accept Christ and the peace and joy and eternal life that he offers, or we can choose the devil's way. We just look quickly, if you want to weigh the pluses and the minuses and see which one you want. If you were to choose eternal life, here are the pluses. If you choose eternal life and walk that narrow way and say yes to God, then Christ dwells within, the Comforter is present always. You are an heir to all the promises of God. Your peace will be like a river, your joy overflowing. You will be given strength for the journey, daily manna, light for each step. You will belong to the great family of God. And then you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and someday all tears be wiped away. Those are just a few of the pluses if you say yes to God. And some of the minuses about choosing God's way would be the entrance gate is narrow, the way hard, hard in the sense of encountering oppositions and conflicts, many obstacles, persecutions, the devil would be your enemy, and because of the dangers along this road, you will have to remain alert at all times. You'll have to deny yourself and take up your cross. You might say those are some of the minuses, but it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. But if you choose the broad way that leads to death, here are some of the pluses of that way. You can enjoy and revel in the pleasures of sin. Anything your heart wants, you can take it. You never have to deny yourself. Whatever your carnal appetites crave, get it. There are no restraints. It is known as the high life, or getting all the gusto out of life. You can live for yourself with unbridled passion, take your fill, enjoy yourself. I mean, as long as you don't break the law of the land and wind up in jail or be found out by your spouse, but you can just enjoy yourself. That's the pluses of the broad way. But here are some of the minuses. You will have God as your enemy. The good life, as you would call it, is awfully brief. It leads to emptiness, a broken heart, disillusionment, constant guilt, no peace with God. And finally, you will be eternally separated from God. Which path are you going to choose? Both of them have their pluses, both have their minuses. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you didn't have Jesus, what would life be like?
If we didn't have Jesus, our Savior, our life would be empty indeed.
Well, I've enjoyed being with you as we've shared together these 30 minutes of devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.
We'd be wandering forsaken indeed. How many times each day do we get weary? The cares of this life bend us more. But Jesus reaches down with his great hand of love and gives us new strength as onward we go. Our life here on this earth is but a journey. Each day brings us closer to home. No matter what the cost, the load we must bear won't be so heavy if we're not alone. If we didn't have Jesus, our Savior, our life would be empty indeed. If we say